Nina, Minusinei Atzidani Malkol Ma the Kosev Mefarish Leil Bemana the Kosher the Miknano Beib Hakol Shorir VeKayom Nasa Po Edison New Jersey Yom Yutes Adar Tov Shin Nun Vav Nuum Yaakov Moshe Ben Arav Yosef Lo A Nuum Gedalia Aaron Ben Arav David Berger A Mazel Tov.
Wait, turn it over. Don't open it. Turn it over. Now break it.
Okay. Lights, please.
Medical lights. I like that.
Right? So we've all been to that thing. We've all seen that happen. It's always nice to see it and look back. You know, I was.
The women never get to see that.
You never get to see that. Right. So.
Or you get to break the plate.
So I was gonna. I just wanna ask you, really, in the spirit, what happened? What just happened? Right. What did he just say? Let me just turn this off. Very good. Right, it took place in Edison, New Jersey. That's all you got, Edison, New Jersey. No, you didn't say that. They didn't have that. This one.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so that's what we want to figure out. What happens in the tonight? Why did we do tonight, man? Why did we break the plate? What is that breaking of the plate? Well. We'll see. Very good. Is he coming with amigas? Is it something else? Why do we break the plate? What else could it be? Why do we break a plate at the Tanaim, but under the chuppah, what do we break?
Glass.
A glass. Is it just by coincidence? Because the plate breaks better? Or there's another reason?
It's hard to break that plate.
Yeah, the plate is a challenge.
Yeah.
What are Tanaim? Well, where does it come from? Right? Conditions, like a prenup. Actually, no. Can I borrow your neck?
Sure.
The prenup. What is the prenup? We talked about the prenup last week. What is the halachic prenup? Anybody tell me? No one.
That's what I thought it was.
The ketubah is really the halachic prenup.
Really?
Sure. What's a ketubah? We're going to get into the ketubah exactly. We'll get into it later on. But what's a ketubah? Ketubah is if we get divorced or I die, you will be paid such and such amount of money for my estate. We'll discuss that.
I think mine says 40.
No, it's more than $20.
It's
more than $20. So let's figure out what are Tanaim, okay? What the ketubah? No, but let's go back to the Tanaim. Figure out what are Tanaim. Where do they come from? Why do we have them? You should just know the word Tanaim do not appear in the Gemara. They are not from the Torah at all. It's not a Torah. Originated thing at all. The ksuba is a din de rabbana that appears in the Gemara and the Mishnah. But the Tanaim do not. Okay? Moreover, when do we do the Tanaim usually?
Before.
I'm going to show you how Tanaim began, how the whole thing started, and then how we do it today.
Okay.
What? And what is it? Okay. So.
Tanaim were like 3 months before.
Ah, very good.
And we got married on a Friday afternoon, I want you to
know. Did you really? Yes. How many people were there at your wedding?
A lot.
Yeah, on a Friday afternoon?
Friday.
And then did you have a Shabbos meal? And then they went right into Shabbos?
Shabbos, Sunday.
Wow. And you had a Tanaim, where was it? Where were you married? Where were you married? What city?
Here, Detroit.
In Detroit. And who did the Tanaim?
Rabbi Prero.
Okay. All right, so let's find out why were our Tanaim 3 months before and my Tanaim were 10 minutes before. I mean, I already had my tuxedo on. It's a good question, right? What are Tanaim? And if I remember Harriet Lawrence, she did Tanaim same way. Like 10 minutes before, right before. So what are Tanaim? So let's first get our terms straight. Okay? In Judaism, so in Hebrew, there's a word called shidduchim. What are shidduchim?
A match.
Right. Match. A shidduch is a match. The boy, you know, the boy and the girl together. Okay? Then you have something called Tanaim. Tanaim, what's a Tanaim in Hebrew?
condition.
A condition, a tanai. Right, that's what it is. Okay? So, tanai, the conditions? Let's see. Then you have something called Erisin, and you have something called Kiddushin. Okay, so just to understand, in times gone by, in times going back, Erisin and Kiddushin were two separate events. Well, what happened was, we would, you know, Dorora would be engaged, she would be betrothed at the ripe old age of 12 or 13, okay? Right? And the husband would come over to your house. He would come from the city of Chicago. He would come to Detroit. And they would do Erusin. Erusin means, and we're going to see this, it's the marriage. Hareya Mekudesha, the giving of the ring. Then they would be halachically married. They'd be married for a year and not see each other. She would get her household ready and prepare and blah, blah, blah. And then a year later, this is the time of the Gemara, a year later, then she would go to his home and they would do Nishluin, the Chuppah. They would complete the wedding and they would be married. Erusin and Nisuin.
In a house?
Wherever, yeah.
The Ger,
no. The Ger, no. Nobody does that now. No. Nobody does it for real now.
Jackie,
married,
but was Jackie.
Yeah.
They get
the boy? No, they get engaged. But here, in the times of the Gemara, they didn't get engaged. They were married. He gave the ring. He said, Aram Mekudeshes, you are married, not engaged.
A complete year.
Okay. So we're going to see in a second. So that in Ger, we're going to see, they still do Tanaim different than we do, than you saw in my video. Okay? Right. So that was... No, so nowadays we do Erusin and Nisuin. We do it together. And I'll discuss this when we get to the wedding itself. This week Tanaim, next week probably Ksuba. I don't know if I'm missing anything. Then Bedekin, then Chuppah. And just to explain to you what all these things are. The deck and the chuppah might be one at a time. Would have been worth it to know all these things before you better get married. Yeah, okay. What can you do? Okay. So Erusin today, when we say Erusin, Erusin, Dror, what do we mean when we say Erusin? Erusin, they meet Arsu. What does it mean when they say that in modern Hebrew today?
Bound and married.
No, it means they got engaged. In colloquial terms, it means they got engaged. So sometimes people can confuse Tanayim and Erusin. So Tanayim does not mean marriage. It means engagement. Okay? What is a vort? Good, very good. What is a vort? What does the word vort mean? Jeff, can you bring me a chumash? Please? Just a regular chumash. Yeah. Vort means
literally
a word. So why do they call it a vort? I think
they're letting out the word that they're going to get married.
I thought, to be honest with you, I always thought that vort meant, the reason it was called a vort is because the chacham is supposed to go to get up and give a vort, give a dvar Torah.
Oh.
That was what I always thought. That's why they called it a vort. No? What? Now, by the way, a vort and tanoim are not the same thing. They're different things. Let me see if I have this. Do I have this in here? Yeah, what's a vart? Skip for just a second to page... Four. Tom Shemikra Vart. This is from a book, a friend of mine, Rabbi Gottlieb from Baltimore, he faxed to me, called Yismach Lev, All About Marriage. Good to have. I should have it. Okay? He says, Bigmar HaShiduch, at the end of the Shiduch, Shoti Maske, we drink stuff, Maske. Okay? And they call it a vart. He says, why do they call it a vart? Orgidal Yahu is the book written by Rabbi Gedaliah Shor, right? Who's a Rosh Yeshiva, lives in our generation, although he passed away. Orgidal Yahu, Kashav Davar, Noem Obose. He says something very nice. The Ashar, maybe, Dimashakorin, the Shumchas Gemara Shidduch Vart. Why do they call it a vart? Hine parsha shiduchim sinimsu b'Torah. Where is the parsha of shiduchim that we find in the Torah? Anyone know? Where do we find shiduchim in the Torah?
Eliezer.
This week's parsha came out perfect. Chayisar. Right, Eliezer has to go and make a shiduch with Rivka for Yitzchak. Beautiful. So what Eliezer says is, Kishashalach Avraham es Eliezer limso isha li Yitzchak, on the top of the second column. When Avraham sent Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak. When he found Rivka, and he asked Bisuel and Lavan for permission to marry her off. So what does it say? It says, in the beginning of the parak, it says, one second, Chaf Dalet Pasuk Nun, it says, Vayan Lavanu Besuel, Lavanu Besuel answered, Vayamru, they said, Me Hashem Yatsa HaDavar. This thing came from God. What's the Yiddish word for Davar? Davar is thing, word. Vart, so Me Hashem Yatsa HaDavar. Meaning, so why is it called a Vart, a Davar, a thing? Because we want to show that this thing that we're celebrating is like it came from God. Therefore, from the Shibuch Vart. That's why we call it a Vart. So Rabbi Gedalia made it up. But it's a nice idea. Very lovely. Okay? So that's why you have at the Vart, you know, and by the way, what happens at most Vart when you have a Vart? Nothing.
They just introduce family.
Right, oh, come meet. They have a lechayim. And then they have a vart. You should just know when I was. No, they don't break a plate. Wow. That's a question. At your tonight, did they break a plate?
Yes, sir.
Right. So first you have a lechayim. Yours, they broke a plate also?
Yes.
First you have a lechayim, and then you have a vart. You have a lechayim. I was just reading in the Jewish Observer online. I don't subscribe. I'm not a subscriber. I was just reading in the Jewish Observer. Aviva, take it outside before you answer, okay? That they are now encouraging people not to have a l'chaim and a vart. Why? Because who needs it? You know, in Brooklyn now, you can have a l'chaim with a three-piece band and a simcha hall, it's already a wedding. So it's a big problem. We'll have to talk about it some other time. Go back to page one, please. What are tonight? So this is from, I have with me two madrichim. What's a madrich? A madrich is a rabbi's handbook. Okay? This is the RCA madrich printed in 1995. For those of you at home, I'm holding up the RCA madrich. Okay? This is what's called a golden madrich, a manual of Jewish religious rituals, ceremonies, and customs by Hyman E. Golden. Anybody want to guess when this was published? 1939. Very good. Okay? You're going to find both of these by Hyman Golden, 1939, by the Hebrew Publishing Company. Okay? They're both legitimate madrichim. So first I'm going to give you the Tanayim from the Hyman E. Golden version. By the way, somebody must have bought this at used book sale, because one day I show up in Shul and it was in my box. I don't know who left it for me, but it's great. It's wonderful. There are certain things, you know, God prayers for people who are sick and that are... Yeah, it was brand new. I don't know. I mean, what can I tell you? So he writes the following. Tanayim Rishonim. What are Tanayim? Hushtar Shiduchim. It is a star, a contract of shidduch, shekosim bo hatanayim, it's a written agreement made before betrothal, which contains all settlements and conditions. Tanai is a condition. Shehishnu b'neihem avi hachasan v'avi hakala o b'ikocham, upon either by the parents of the groom or bride or by their representatives. What are tanayim?
They put together the money.
Right. Tanayim is the money. Tanayim is the money. Because when you are going to marry my son, who's going to marry your daughter, someone's going to have to put up a lot of money. Right? And people nowadays, even nowadays, it's still a lot of money. I was talking to somebody today, this morning, whose son just got engaged in Brooklyn. And I was complaining, why do you have to have 300-400 people at a wedding? He said, because when there's no shuls like we have in Detroit where a shul can have a chasana. In New York, you want to have a chasana, you have to go to a wedding hall.
Right.
And they only charge $45 a couple, you know, for the jibo. But the minimum is 175 couples.
Yes, that's
they won't talk to you unless you have 175 couples. Isn't that incredible?
There's other shuls.
Yeah, I got married in the shul. Right, I know, I got married in the shul. Yes.
In Brooklyn?
In Queens.
Yeah, we got married.
Yeah, I got married.
Yeah, but I'm saying in the tri-state area.
There are plenty of...
You have to be... He's a Hasidic guy.
It's a different world.
It's a different world. You're absolutely right.
But there is definitely...
So now you're going to make this... And by the way, and now you go to Israel, I don't know if anybody ever comes to collect at your house. When they come to collect in my house, what are they often collecting for? My daughter's getting married. So big deal. So make a cheaper wedding. No, the wedding is the cheap part, right? What's expensive?
The apartment.
The apartment. We were just talking about it this morning, right? We said the apartment. The deal is, for many people, I pay a third, you pay a third, and the couple will somehow scrounge together a third over the rest of their lives. A third of an apartment in Israel could be $50,000. So I'm going to have to scrounge up 50 grand. And what's going to happen? I just got into $50,000, and all of this, I put in the money. I started making, you know, expenses, and I buy invitations. And then, what does the girl do? I don't want to get married to this guy.
Ouch.
So what do we do? We write a star. We write a contract that says, I'm going to put up this amount of money. You're going to put up that amount of money. I'm paying for the flowers, the liquor, the band. The video? I know you're laughing. Okay, I'm bringing back good memories, I can see. Right? You're going to pay for the caterer?
Apparently now Schaefer goes in there. Flops.
Flops? Schaefer does also? Whatever, it's a ton of money.
And
the
shrine for the
chasm. Okay. The chasm and the hakala, the chasm and the kala, they sign on this contract. The gam shnei edim chosim in 11, two witnesses sign. Hachasan v'hakala v'shnei ha-tzadadim, v'chasan v'kala on the two sides, tzichim lekabel kinyon shikayimu kol mashikasa v'shtar tanayim. They have to make a kinyon. What's a kinyon? You know, when the rabbi, you sell your chametz to him, you make a kinyon, the rabbi gives you the thing, you pick it up. Kinyon is an acquisition, an act of acquisition. So tanayim, by the way, this is real business. This isn't, you know, this is like a regular contract. Beis. Hold on, let's skip Beis, skip Gimel, because Hey, skip to Hey. Noagin l'sha'acha kriyas ha'tanayim. See where it says Hey, number 5. Tzakasim, after you break, after the tanayim. Shovim klicheres. You break specifically, on page 1, number Hey. You specifically break a klicheres of earthenware. Why? Shekeshem shekliheres sinishbar. Just as an earthenware thing that breaks, shuv ein lo takana, if you break an earthenware piece of shard or pottery, what happens to it? Throw in the garbage. You can't fix it. You can't, you understand it. Kach tzichin lizayir. You must be careful. Levilti na take et kesher at tanoim. Not to break the ties of the tanoim. Listen to what he said. It's unbelievable. This is going to shock you. Hagra, the gra was the Vilna Gaon. Kasav, he wrote, Shetov yoter lenatek es nisuyim al yidei get. It's better to get divorced than it is milenatek et kesher hatanayim.
Better for who?
For the couple.
Not if it's a girl who then can't go and marry Cohen.
That's what he said.
Wow.
Why? As we'll soon see, the tanayim became, we're taking that extremely, extremely seriously. And so what they would write in, as we're going to see, we're not going to see the full text. I couldn't get my hands on a real old text of tanayim. But in the olden times, up to America, really up to, even in Drawer's time, I don't know how serious it was. I'm not sure if it was taken seriously. It was. I don't know, did they write in real money? That's the question. No. They're not. Meaning, but in communities for 1,000 years at least. Because the first mention of tanayim is in the Baalei Tosfos, is in the Tosafist on Baba Metzia. The Baalei Tosfos, right, there's a problem with the Tanaim. The problem with the Tanaim is, usually when you say, if the Lions win on Sunday, I'll pay you $100. Okay? So the question is, and we shake on it. Now the Lions win on Sunday. Do I have to pay you $100? Made a Kenyan. Chazal say no. Why? Because it's an asmachta. It's called an asmachta. Asmachta means but it's not just if. Do I think that the Lions are going to win? No. Because if I thought the Lions would win, I would never have made the deal. So therefore, when I make a condition, I've got a problem. Because if I do something conditionally, then I'm not going to have to pay. So that's not something that's binding. The Baalei Tosfos said that tonight, in which we write, if the marriage doesn't go through, I'm going to pay, you know, if I break off the wedding, then I have to pay. And then that is not an asmachta, and that has real force in Beis Din, and Beis Din can enforce it. Let's say this poor girl decides she doesn't want to get married. What's the father going to say?
Too bad.
You mean you don't marry that guy?
It's going to cost me $50,000.
I already paid a lot of money. You should have thought about that beforehand. Too late. So now why did the Vilna Gaon say it? What happened was that not only did they include in the language, they included the language of money. It's not just money. They included a cherem, on someone who broke tznayim. They wrote in the shtar, they said, and there's a cherem of the communities on someone who breaks this contract. You say, ah, it's just money, I don't care, I'm going to find... What happens, because what would happen, Blanche? Your daughter, you marry your son gets engaged, nice guy, right? And then the richest guy in town comes to you and says, your daughter's available? Let's go. Well, I just signed tonight. So I'll pay the money off. So you say, okay, you pay the money, it's worth it, right? Right? Or you have the money, right? It's more prestigious. So what happens? You break it off. Say, you owe me the money. I don't care. I pay the money. What happens to that family?
They're
no. Forget Chayram. What happens to that family?
They're devastated.
Yeah. Not only are they devastated.
And nobody's going to want to.
Right. They're damaged goods.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, even today, it's less so, but well, yes, you want to have sex with a girl. Oh, yeah? What can you tell me? Well, she was engaged already once. Mm, you see your face? So if someone was going to go through the process of engaging their daughter or their son to somebody else, they wanted some assurances that it was going to stick. Remember also, very often this arrangement was not an emotional arrangement. It was more of a financial arrangement, right? You know, oh, I know this family, you know that family. The couple met once, a couple times, maybe once. Right? It's more of a financial arrangement. So if I find somebody better, who needs them? So that's why in the Tanaim, they wrote it in such a way that it was very serious. Very, very serious. And so therefore, moreover, so there was a sort of, I would call it like a curse associated with it, in a sense. You get that when you read, the Vilna Gaon said, it's better, where did he write it? Better to separate the marriage through a get, better to get divorced. Preferable to dissolve the bond of marriage by divorce than to break an engagement.
Yeah, but then she's not a basula anymore. Didn't that matter to the family?
She could be, I guess. She could be. You don't have to. She could, you know.
How could she be?
Well,
she married.
You could actually not do. I guess
yeah,
so.
How could she be?
But she doesn't have to live with him. There's no chiyuv to live with him.
They got married and stuff.
Yeah, but once they get married, it's
dead. I don't know if they ever did it. I don't think they ever did it. But all I'm saying is this statement, I don't know if they ever did it. That statement is a really strong statement. Moreover, we're going to see that at the Tanaim, there was a custom of giving gifts. That in order to establish a relationship between the families, so the families would give each other gifts and he would give her a gift. So now let's get this straight. He's giving her a gift. They're signing a contract, binding them to each other. What does that sound like?
Marriage.
Right, sounds like marriage. So many poskim were afraid that there was a chashash kedushin. So some say that what the Vilna Gaon meant was that once you had this whole Tanayim ceremony, maybe they married already. Maybe when the Torah says that he gives her money for the sake of committing, that's enough. You know what I'm saying? Rehamik Udeshasi, maybe they're married. So it's better, instead of breaking the engagement, and you have a chashash, perhaps HSE, she's already married, and then you have problems with the children. Just get divorced already. Yeah. I'm sorry, Viva had a question.
Yes, we have a question.
Yeah.
We have a new member of the
class.
What's your name?
Rebecca.
Feldman.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is he competing?
I'm working on him.
Okay. Anyway, so, but imagine, and look at the imagery. Why do we break a plate? You break a plate, you know, you saw my mom do it. It was such a lovely scene. It was so nice. Wasn't it lovely?
It
was
funny.
It was funny? All right, no. Oh, you missed the video. We break a plate to show why, just as this plate can never be put back together, don't break that shidduch. Touching, ain't it? It's beautiful, isn't it? You know, yeah, so romantic, so lovely. Business. Yes, there you go.
Is this why you came to my daughter, Elisa, well, we were waiting for the bedekin and gave her a yarmulke and said, are you determined to marry this man?
No, that's a ketubah. That's for the ketubah.
Oh, that's for the ketubah.
Yeah, ketubah, okay. She has to make, I mean, many posts can say that she has to accept obligations that are incumbent upon her in the ketubah.
I had never...
And the Tanaim is really between the families.
Okay.
The Tanaim. So now that I know that the Tanaim is all, well, let's read the Shtar. So this is the Nusach, the form of Tanaim that appears, the ancient form. Mamagim Meshes Achrimis And by the way, all Tanaim begin this way. He who says predestines, may ratios from the beginning, acharis. He knows in the beginning what's going to happen at the end. Right? So why do we say that? It implies we show that, you know, just as God knew that this couple would get engaged. So too, it should all come out nicely. Hu yitain shem tov v'sheiris. He should give a good name and remnant. Le'ela divrei ha-tanayim v'habris. To these provisions and covenant. Shenidabru v'husnu ben shnei ha-tadavim. That were spoken between these two sides. Hanim mitzad echad. From one side, Rab Blah, Rab Joe Blow. Right? Ha'omim mitzad ha-chasan. From the husband, from the groom side. Okay? Moreno Harad, right, from the Chassan, our Joe Blow Jr. Umisada Shani, Joe Shmo, Haomer Misada Kala, Basula, the beautiful Kala, the virgin Kala, Maras, you know, surely. Reishis Dabar, first, HaChassan Hanal, Yisas, Absala Hakal, Kala Hanal, Bechuba, Bekedushin, Gidas Moshe, Yisrael. The above groom agrees to take to oneself as a wife the above named bride. Through chuppah and betrothal, to das Moshe Yisrael, according to the law of Moses in Israel, va'yarichu va'yalimu lo zu mizu v'lo zeh mizeh. They will neither abstract nor conceal from one another any v'lo mizu mizu shum havrachas mamash va'olam. Nor will they abstract nor conceal from one another any property whatsoever. Yishlitu b'nechsei and shava b'shava ka'ora kol ara. But they shall equally have custom over their property pursuant to the established custom. So romantic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. First and foremost, they will get married. We will now establish that they will get married in such and such a date, such and such a time. And you could add in such and such a hall, on such and such a place. You know, because they had to figure out, where are they going to get married? Okay? Ha'chasan ha'niskar le'el. Yishchayivas asmo la'teis matanos la'hakal la'tanohut. The above named groom obligation shall present the bride with gifts according to custom. He will give her a diamond ring, and he will, I mean, and in many tanaim, it would say, he promises to bring in linens and bedding, and he promises to bring in 3 pots, 4 pans, an oven, self-cleaning if possible, a microwave, you know, whatever. What?
They didn't have a
shower. They didn't have, this was the shower. Yeah, this is what she got. Hakala hanishkala el, and the kala. Hichiva es asmal dehachnis nidun yasach. The above bride obligates himself to give us a dowry, the amount of, meaning how the guy has to know. If I'm going to marry you,
what are you worth?
What are you bringing? Why are you shaking your head?
I just get you. Carry on.
This is marriage for the vast, vast majority of Jewish history.
No,
up until about how long ago?
I understand.
Maybe 100 years.
Still is.
The mizumanim, he's going to bring in this much mizuman, this much cash, malbushim, clothing, kar mikistos, pillows, bedclothes, big day pishton, kenahuk. Right? And they had, and by the way, each community had its own established custom of what was acceptable and what was expected each side to bring into the marriage. Who's going to set up house for these people? You know, and by the way, it makes sense when the Gemara talks about these are elud rami shemsam chelak ba'olam hazeh ve'akaren kemes ba'olam haba, that there are certain mitzvahs that have reward in this world and in the world to come. Hachnasas kala was one of them. It wasn't for the wedding, and the wedding it was also for the wedding, but the big expense was setting these kids up. You know, they're just getting started. Who's going to set them up? So the parents set them up and said, okay, now you're on your own.
You're also talking about people who are much younger than. Were they much younger than people get married now?
Not always. I mean, as time went along, it got later and later. And yes, to be honest with you, if they were much younger, where were they going to live?
Their parents.
Whose parents?
The mother.
Usually probably the girl's parents. Why? Why the girl's parents? Why the girl's parents? She was the one that wanted to get the chasen, right? Apparently, men were always in more demand because men had more choices. So she wanted to get the chassan, so how do you get them? Room board? Room board? Put it in writing. Okay? Because you know what your word is as good as?
Yeah.
So they did put it in writing, and that's, what do we call that? The Tanaim. Lovely. Okay. Ha-chassan el-yeh le-mazel tov m'yirtz Hashem. Ha-chassan will be le-mazel tov m'yirtz Hashem, God willing, b'yom, on this date, l'chadis month, shnas, this year. Either during this time or afterwards. Whenever, if they both parties agree to it. By the way, this is a very lenient, you see how it's open, this contract? If they agree to change it or whatever, they didn't always have that. sometimes the side would say, the wedding will be on such and such a date, and if somebody else wanted to break it, you know, what would happen, I saw in the Tshuva, there are many, many shilas about this, what would happen if somebody wanted to get married in a certain city? Remember, by the way, that travel was not like, you know, like it is today. I live in Pinsk, you live in Minsk, right? What's the middle town in the middle between Pinsk and Minsk?
Minsk.
Blinsk, I don't know, whatever town is, right? So, okay, we're not going to bring a Pinsk or Minsk, it's not fair, we'll meet at Blinsk. Right? So, what happens if a family says, we can't get to Blinsk, can we have it in Minsk? And the other family says, no, we can't do it. So now do you have to pay? Do you owe? Did you break the contract? Did you not break the contract? Big time shilas. Right? You know? So it depends how tightly written the contract was, which is why you hire
a good lawyer.
Right, of course. You better know, you better hope that your Rav knew how to write Tanayim. Because if he didn't know how to write Tanayim, you were going to get taken advantage of, like lawyers. So, about, whatever, Knash. Knash, Mitzada Ogre, Mitzada Mekayim. What's a Knash? What? What's a Knash? You know, I never turned the term Knash? A fine. A fine. If you break this contract, not only do you have to pay whatever my expenses were, that's right. You owe me a fine. How much? Sach, however much they agree. Ukafi chok hamedina, according to the law of the land. What's the American law of the land? How much you have to pay fine to break an engagement? Zero, right. Nowadays it's zero. But in there, it was not chok hamedina, it was minhag hamedina.
Was this
done
with
the
Chasen
Kala? I mean, they
made this? Sure. I don't remember
doing
this.
What?
I don't remember.
We're going to see why. All of this was done. B'day ha-shleimo mi-yusheves, understanding and due deliberation. U'b'ofen ha-yoter mo'il al-pi tikkun chachameinu zichronam levracha, and in the most efficient and effective manner. V'al-pi chukei ha-medina. B'tkiat kaf, handshake, u'b'peh male. We know exactly what we're getting into. U'b'kinyan gamur, agav sudar me'achshav. Kinyan gamur, right, we take the handkerchief. Meaning, this is not a joke. Right, you shake on it, you say it out loud, you articulate it, you do a kinyan, deloke asmachta. Remember that word asmachta? It's not asmachta. Asmachta means, I don't mean that, they're never going to break up. I know if they break up, I'm committing. Udeloke tu se vishari, not fake documents. Vekamina, me in chasnasan, me in akal, me shnei atzadadim, al kolal, the cause of the first la'el, the money of the kashim migdei, we made a kinyan, and the way that is, our kosher rear the kayam. Okay, and then he had even more. For the further purpose of making the agreement binding and obligatory, the groom and bride themselves have attached their signatures here unto this blah day of blah blah. That's an American invention. The chasan and the kala didn't have to sign anything. You know why?
They weren't involved.
There's a family. Right. It had nothing to do with it. Right. So why did the Americans add in the chasan and the kala?
Try to make them feel more connected.
Correct. They had no idea what was going on here. Right? In American weddings, the chasan and the kala most often have no idea what's going on. Oh, okay, Rabbi, whatever you said. Sign here. No problem. Right. Okay?
Right.
And this was... You signed your tonight? I don't remember it. I have to tell you honestly, I don't remember my tonight either. I watched it on the video. I don't remember my tonight either. I didn't remember that my mother tried to hit me.
We did not sign.
You did not sign. When did you with your tonight? At your wedding or before?
Right before. It was like here. Yeah, it was just like
so now let me ask you a question. How could you do this 5 minutes before the wedding?
Yeah. How could I think of so that there's no issue of the time between Tanaim and Erikim?
Why would you write this contract 5 minutes before the wedding that we promised to get married right here in this hall and, you know, I'll bring in this amount of money and this thing. Why would you write that contract?
You have to write it.
It was done earlier, right?
It was done earlier, right? The point I'm trying to show you is the point of the Tanayim was in order to guarantee that people wouldn't back out. Is there any point in guaranteeing that people don't back out on the day of the wedding?
No.
No point whatsoever. What? It's tradition. Well, we'll see what tradition is. Okay. Turn, the Shulchan Aruch has halachas about this. These are just some of the halachas. Okay. What happens if I give a girl an engagement ring?
That they do it so close now.
Yeah.
Because of all the problems that we as a people went through. like the Holocaust and, you know, before that, the Crusade, that they would sign to Naim, and then something would happen.
Ah, so the question would be, now this is halachic side, we're going to see in the Shulchan Aruch, what happens if you sign Tanayim and then something beyond your control happens? Are you still bound to the Tanayim or not? We'll see what are conditions that are beyond your control so much so that you would then be exempt from the Tanayim. Allah is talking about this. That's not why they stopped doing it. Because that's addressable. That's a legal question. No. That has to be addressed. The reason they stopped doing it, why do these
people were dead or not?
Well, I mean, that's a different question. Yeah, Eddie.
No, they stopped because nowadays we do it because the Tanayim have to be written. Before, when it was written 6 months earlier,
right,
or a year earlier,
right,
and then they decided to break up. It was such a like a catastrophe almost.
Right.
So everybody was afraid to sign. They didn't want to sign. I'm going to sign, and something happened.
No, they did want to sign. Are you kidding? The reason why you wanted to sign because you didn't want that catastrophe. You needed a guarantee that the catastrophe wouldn't happen to you.
Yeah.
And if it did, someone is going to make you whole. Yeah,
yeah,
someone's going to pay.
This control, like we did.
Ah. Right.
You can sign anything you want. Now that you have to go to you can't go to
You can go to a Beis Din.
But the Beis Din, do they have any clout now?
They do, absolutely they do. If we sign a Tanayim as a binding arbitration agreement, and you take me to court, the court will say, go to your arbitrator. You signed an agreement that you will argue this case in a binding arbitration before a Beis Din. By the way, that's what we spoke about last week in the prenuptial agreement. Prenuptial agreement stated, the first part of the prenuptial agreement was, I agree that we will adjudicate the religious portion of this divorce in front of a Beis Din. So the first thing a person can do is say, I've got a prenup that says we have to go to Beis Din. If the husband says, no, I want to go to court, the court will say, you signed a prenup in the state of Michigan. Goodbye, go to the Beis Din. I don't want to see you. That's legally binding in the United States of America. So a Tanayim, a contract that's entered into a Tanayim, even as in Hebrew, it will be honored, I think, in a secular court if it can be shown that there was due process and it was understood what it was talking about. Right, right. It has to be written properly, but it can be done. Let's say, a boy gets married to engaged to a girl. Very good. He gives her a diamond ring. And then she breaks up with him. Or, I'll say one better. He breaks up with her. Very good. And he says, sweetie dear, I want the ring.
Give me my ring.
No, she's allowed to keep the ring.
Give me my ring, girl.
No, legally.
What?
American law,
if she breaks it.
Okay, so we see it's about focus.
If the engagement is broken.
Yes.
You have to give the engagement ring back because the engagement is given as a condition for marriage.
Excellent.
The marriage
excellent.
Place, the
are you sure that's again? You sure that's the law? I mean, American law?
I don't know about
I wasn't
to
just
giving
you enough time. They keep stating it over and over again. If the engagement is broken since the ring was given.
We have a lawyer here. Do you remember? You don't know. Okay. So that same thing is true in this case. What happens? Remember we said that. That's a Tanayim. Right, that they exchange gifts one family to another. So what happens if I give gifts, we buy the apartment or whatever, and then the other family says, you were the one that messed us over, I'm not giving you the gifts back. So it turns out it's a huge machlokas. HaShalech Shiblonot, so the Shulchan Aruch, in Evan HaEzer, Shin and Nun, Shiv Gimel, page 3, I'm on. HaShalech Shiblonot, the Beis Chamav, let's say you're saying gifts to your Chamav, your your in-laws, right? Your shatan, your what's it called? Your mechutin. Bein merubin, bein muatim. Whether it's a lot or a little. Name she'achal sham sudas erishin bein shabalacha. Whether you ate by them or didn't eat by them. Bein shemesu, bein shemesahi. Whether she died, nebuch, or he died. O shechazer bo ha'ish, or even if he backs out. Yachzero hachshivlonos kulam. It all goes back. Chutz mehamacha behamishta. Other than the food and the drink. They can't. He's going to say, oh, by the way, we served your family 22 meals at $12 a piece. Pay up, send him a bill. No. Shiblo note, the Beit Chamav, the gift. Well, I have to tell you honestly, it's a huge machlokas. There's all arguments. The same most, and if you have money, the same kelim, muatim, or small gifts, shashalach lihishtamisham, the base aviyah, that he's sent to give her in her father's house. Im nishtam shabem ubalu al abdu. And if she lost them or she used them, ain't a mishtam. You have to pay back. Alim abu kayamim, but she didn't use them. They're still there. Chozer hakol. It all goes back. The gova osam bebeishbim. And I can even take you to court to make you pay them back. Why? This is what you say, Harry. Very good. Shadabar yadu, it's known. Shalo shalchem ela derech noy bilvad. Why did I give it to you? Because I gave it to you as a gift to endear you, because we're going to be family. We're mishpacha. Now that we're no longer mishpacha, give me my stuff back. Hagad Rama edge. V'im haya minag medina, if the custom of the land was yasa kol adam suda. You have to make a meal, v'yachil l'reya v'yachalek ma'os v'shamashim v'l'chazanim v'yotzabahem. And you have to give money out. They would give money. You know, everybody's celebrating. Give the rabbi a little bit. Give the chazan a little bit. V'asha k'derech she'osim kol ha'am v'chaz rabu. Right, and the guy did everything he was supposed to, and then the girl backs out, Mishalem Esakol. And she has to pay him, hey, I spent all this money on, you know, goosing people's pounds. Why? Shahare Gama lo la'abe maman. She caused him to lose money. Okay, skip down to the next, second to last line, in the parentheses. V'yesh omen, some say, d'cholzen my riba masasarach la'achar erisin. That's only if it's after, remember we said the erisin, actual first part of the marriage. But before Erishin, la'achar Shiduchim, after Shiduchim, Chozer HaKol, it all goes back. Miyesh Cholkin. So, by the way, it's Yesh Cholkin, and some argue. So it's a huge machlokes between the Rishonim. Some felt, even just after Shiduchim, it goes back. Some felt, only if it was after the marriage, it goes back. Some felt it doesn't go back at all. It was the machlokes, and you can see all sides of the issue. Okay? Dalit. Hamashadech Bito Lechadero. I send my daughter to my friend. Mashadech, not Mashalech, Mashadech. Mashadech from the word? Shidduch. Right? How are you Mashadech? What did they do to me Mashadech? When does it become a Shidduch? Now in the first couple of dates. When does it become a Shidduch, official? Tonight. Right? When you make a Shidduchim. Okay? Vishalech lo begadim v'tachshitim. He sends back clothing and, you know, and adornments. V'achakach nizbatlu ha-shidduchim. Then the Shidduch falls apart. Let's say the chasan backs out, or his father. Still, yachzer mashe shalach lo. Okay, then he also has to, even though he backs out, she has to send back. Just like, yes.
There's no
shidduch? Yes. You think my father couldn't back out?
Yeah, what about the couple?
You American. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. It doesn't matter who backs out. Shit, hey, now what's good grounds to back out? Shit, hey. Reuven shidach bito l'shimon b'kinyan u'shvua. Remember what I said? Kinyan? They made a kinyan u'shvua. What's a shvua? No. We swear that this marriage will take place. Remember what I said about the vum begum? Don't mess with swearing. I want to point out, by the way, that even today, when the shidduch falls apart, Rabbanim will tell both sides, get a letter from the other side absolving you, releasing you. Because if they still harbor, bad will, ill will towards you, that's bad in the
karma
mystical spheres.
Come up.
And I've even heard
I
think after engagement for sure.
After
engagement, and I've even heard people say that there's a superstition, there's grounds, I can say here, but there's grounds for not being able to have children. That if you break up a shidduch and you don't alleviate or whatever the other side, that they still hold it against you in some way. Yeah, serious stuff. People don't mess with it. You don't know, you don't mess with it. You get the letter. Okay? And they shmishu staros, and they made a third star, they made a whole arrangement. The achakach ira. And what happened? The Kala's sister went off the derech. Not only went off the derech, Hemira. She became an apostate. She converted to another religion. One more time. Chasan and Kala get engaged. And then the Kala's sister goes and converts to Christianity. So now what does Chasan say?
Oh, you mean this is a reason to break up?
No, so he doesn't want to be in that family.
He doesn't want to be in that family. Does that sound legitimate or illegitimate?
It doesn't
sound right, but you can see where that's coming.
You're American.
Yeah, you're an American. You can see where. So therefore, Yachol Shimon.
And he can restrict to get out.
Yachos Shimon, that's not a stick.
I mean.
Yachos Shimon Lachzor Bo. Shimon can back out. Upatra mehakinyan umiyashubua umiyashubua. So what does that tell you, though? That's grounds to get out of tonight. What's not grounds?
To fling out a woman.
Anything less than that. I don't like her. I'm not interested anymore. I changed my mind. You know, it's a bad hair day.
I met her mother.
You know, nowadays, you bring me back to the whole, and I guess I still can't get over this.
Harry, if you meet her first.
I can't get over this. When Britney Spears text messaged Kay said that they were getting a divorce, she did it. You heard that?
She did
a text
message.
What do you mean? It's on all the internet blogs.
Wow. I didn't know that. I'm impressed that I know that.
Or depressed. No, I don't know that because I read People Magazine. I know it because it was on Gizmodo about text messaging.
Okay.
You understand?
All right.
That's his excuse. It's in the papers, too.
It was in all the papers. It's on Fox News today. It's all over the papers.
It's all over. You can't.
What does that say about, that tells you, we take Tanayim so seriously, and what were the grounds for divorce?
He's an idiot.
He's an idiot. You should have known that before you married him.
Well,
reconcilable, the old standard, a reconcilable difference.
He went through all the money.
He went through all the money?
It's a reconcilable difference.
Actually, the idea of grounds for divorce is, you know, why don't you just say, why do I need grounds? I don't want to be married anymore. Right.
Sometimes
there are legitimate.
What?
Sometimes there are legitimate.
Why do I have to tell anybody what the reason is?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Because of the Protestant
background of this country.
Hey, what I'm saying though here, Shaduchim, you make a shidduch, and you know, this is not marriage. This is the shidduch. You just signed tonight. Fine, if her sister converts to Christianity, then you're off the hook. But other than that, and nowadays, what do we come to? A wedding being dissolved by text message. Because of irreconcilable differences.
Don't come home.
What have you?
It won't be that easy.
What?
It won't be that easy.
For him. For her.
For her.
It'll be that easy. It'll just cost her.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah. Although, whatever. Forget it. There's more information that I know that I'm not going to admit to. Okay. Who has in third line? In Ishtatis, Mr. Deches, Lo Aleinu, if the girl loses her mind. Or the other way around. Furthermore, let's say he himself becomes, you know, he kilkil masav, his behavior becomes mekulkal.
Erratic.
Not erratic, it becomes.
Irrational?
No. What's the word? Becca?
I don't know.
Mekulkal means destroyed or degraded. So the question is, what does that mean? It sounds like he loses religion. You know what I'm saying? He starts behaving inappropriately. She can get out of it. So you see that if there's some fundamental, significant change in their behavior in the agreement that they made, then they can get out of it. But otherwise, they can't get out of it. They are connected to each other, and they're stuck with each other, et cetera, et cetera. What?
Are they married at this point?
No. Let me see if I can find it again.
Before the wedding.
Oh.
But it's after the tonight.
Right. 1 second. I'll skip something because I'm running out of time, aren't I? Okay. So let's go to the RCA Madrach, the lifestyle Madrach, the RCA Madrach of today. We ask the age-old question. If all this is true, if it's really a monetary connection, if it's really just about business, which is all it is, first of all, why do we treat it so romantically?
That's the American.
Because
yeah.
Most people don't know what it means, honestly. Most people don't know anything about it.
And if they pay
for
it,
horrendously offended.
Yes.
Right? And if so, why do we do tonight 10 minutes before the wedding? How could we do tonight? It doesn't make any sense to say we promise to get married today in Pines Manor in Edison, New Jersey when we're standing in Pines Manor in Edison, New Jersey. It makes no sense. It's a stupid waste of time. If I wanted to back out in the next 10 minutes, believe me, I wouldn't be standing there anyway.
In his cute tux.
In my cute tux, thank you. It was an age-old custom to bind the couple in a commitment to marriage via a document called Tanayim, which literally means conditions. This document sets out the conditions of agreement between the couple as to some details of the impending marriage. Usually it was most details. The prevailing customary contemporary custom regarding this tanaim is that if it is arranged at all, it is prior to the wedding. I must say, I will say again, nowadays tanaim are optional. You don't have to do them. In fact, there's no reason to do them.
Isn't it like
what? No, not at all. I'm glad you asked that. So when we get to Ksuba next week, you'll see that they're not at all the same. They're totally different. One is totally meaningless, and the other one, without which you could not get married. Okay? The Tanaim is the one that's totally meaningless.
Does anyone not do Tanaim?
Sure.
Really?
Sure. Okay? The document is filled out by the fishing rabbi as per below, just prior to the word, filling in the word dekanina, as one of the witnesses takes a handkerchief or another item and gives it to the guarantors, to the agreement on both sides, usually the fathers, for them to lift, to indicate their agreement with respective undertakings as spelled out in the Tanaim, right? We take the thing, we say to the father, you accept the obligation, which you did, yes, the father of the other one. The witnesses, having carefully watched this, then signed the Tanaim document. The completed Tanaim document is then read aloud. Person acceptable to both sides, hold on to the Tanaim document and after the marriage ceremony. Let's see what we're actually saying in the Tanaim. This text is not the text you found in the other Madrich. This text was written by Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Okay? Let's see what he says. Mazel Tov! Ya'olem Yitzvah Kagan Ratuv, like a wet garden, Matcha Isha Matcha Tov, find woman, found good. The Yavik Ratzon Hashem Atov, when obtained favor from God who was good, Ha'omer Ledevek Tov, who endorses this union. So remember, it starts Hamagi Meirachis Acharis. Remember we said that we had that language before? May he who knows from the beginning, right, knows the end. Who ye can send to Obeshevus and Diverat, Tanayim Ba'abis, Tanayim Ba'abis, Tanayim Ba'abis, Tanayim Ba'abis, Tanayim Ba'abis. So these conditions from the two sides, Hanam Yitzhad Ha'echad, from one side, Harab Job Lo, Ha'omer Yitzhad Ha'beno Ha'chasan, right, Job Lo Jr., Umitzhad Ha'sheni Rab Job Shmo, right, Ha'omer Yitzhad Ha'kala Basula Maras, Sylvia. Asher Kvar, now it gets interesting. Asher Kvar, that already, Akvar Niskaimu Kola Chayuvim Mitzad Achashan Vadakala, all the obligations toward the bride have been fulfilled. Vechay Niskaimu Kola Chayuvim Mitzad Akala Lachashan, and all the obligations for the groom have been fulfilled. What are we committing ourselves to? Nothing. Ve'en Lahem Zel Zer Shum Taino Zotriya, so they have no claims against each other. Neither of the claims, but there remains yet to fulfill the above named groom marries the above named bride through chuppah and kiddushin, and according with Das Moshe Yisrael, the yom on this day, this month, this year. They should not run away and conceal from each other anything regarding the possessions. Rather, they should equally share over their possessions in peace and tranquility as is the way of children who are of the Torah and who are in awe of God. What did Rabbi Moshe Feinstein do? He took the language from the Tanaim of old and he took out all of the meaningful language. And so what does the Tanaim say? What does the Tanaim say?
Not much.
It says?
They're going to get married.
These couples are going to get married. No. All of this is done in parental understanding, due deliberation, the effective legal formality of a binding agreement with both parties on that is written and elaborated above by an instrument that is legally appropriate for establishing a transaction, and everything is valid and confirmed. We just confirmed? Nothing.
It's not a very serious thing.
It's not serious at all. It's nothing. All it is, the Tanaim is a photo op.
So really, why do they do it?
Because
tradition.
Right. Why they break the plate? They broke the plate to show that if you break this engagement, it's like you're breaking something that can never be put together again. So don't you dare do it. And now we do it. Mazel tov! It's so nice, right? And you just said the guy who read it, you saw it again. Now, if you follow along, it's funny. Right, you read this contract, and the contract says, here we are,
having a good time,
gonna have a wedding, gonna have a wedding. And that's it, let's get married. Let's break the plate. That's it. After the Tanaim is read, the mother, the bride, and the groom break a plate, at which spontaneous outbursts of Mazel Tov, I love this, it has to be written in, spontaneous outbursts of Mazel Tov and attendant lively singing ensue. So this is a very fascinating shiur, because what you realize is, you had time. I don't know what they wrote in your tonight.
Well, I have to tell you, brother.
Do you have it still?
I think I do.
Ooh, I'd love to see it. Can you bring it in? Okay, see if you have it.
Yeah, but
hers was done before.
Yeah.
So I want to see if they actually wrote anything. Okay? Because Rav Moshe can only be on the day of the wedding. So somebody said to Rav Moshe, it doesn't make sense for us to write the Tanayim the way it was already written because it's the day of the wedding. Can you write us something else? Okay. So he wrote up something that meant nothing. And said, you want to do it? Great. You don't want to do it? Also great. Because it doesn't mean anything. Now, it's interesting. I just point out, somebody emailed me. He's getting married. He has a few questions for me. And he said, somebody suggested that if you have non-religious people and you want to honor them, you can have them sign the Tanayim. Because remember, in order to be a kosher aid, a valid aid, you have to be Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Mitzvos. So can you have somebody? And I said, in all honesty, I was uncomfortable with that. I know some rabbis will do it, but I'm not comfortable with that because even though the star itself is meaningless, so the Adim can be meaningless too, nonetheless, I think it's such a bad precedent. Because like a lot of people don't know the difference between what's a meaningful document and a non-meaningful document. And if anybody can sign anything, before you know it, You're gonna have a nightmare on your hand, and then you're gonna have not close to two boys. That's a joke.
I have a question.
So, what are Tanayim?
No.
A great photo opportunity, as you saw at the very beginning. And
where did the custom to hand out pieces of broken clay to unmarried eligible females come?
So that's what he says, because the whole point is when they broke the clay. Right?
I had
when they broke
whoever's
the plate.
12, I used to tell last time I got married. I had so many pieces of clay.
Wait, let me see if I can find a way to break the plate. Here.
Pieces in, like a whole art project.
Yeah.
1 second. He's what about Batashis? Oh, by the way, I just want to point out. I remember I said how you break a plate at the Tanayim and a glass under the chuppah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between earthenware and glass?
The material.
One is made.
One's clear. One's
glass. You can melt down. Glass is liquid.
And make a new glass.
Correct. Meaning that the Tanayim. Remember, I said some people said it was even more serious than the wedding. Tanayim, don't break. The wedding, you always have a guest.
Yeah, but the breaking the glass is a different thing at the end of the wedding.
It's easier to break a glass than a plate.
So you know why the collar gives out the pieces? Let me see 1 second. 1 second. I don't know why. I thought I saw it somewhere. I think we do. She does it because it's nice and it's a skula, blah, blah, blah. So I hope I debunked a nice myth for you this evening. And we should all have nice photo ops for all of our families.